Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Bhakti Vaibhava ki jai. Rantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sriraj Maharaj ki jai. Anitai Gopri Mandi. Okay. So, does anyone remember what we're up to?
Any
other points?
Yes. Narada ji telling to the king, you can see whatever animal we have seen, you can see in the sky.
Why?
Because whatever you have killed, you can see, so then he understands why he is doing so, such a social activity.
Anything else?
King
Prithu is called Antarthana. This pastime which is begun after the pastime of Prithu Maharaj is the pastime of Purandara. So this pastime begins in the beginning of chapter 24, but chapter 24 is primarily the song of Lord Shiva, which is spoken to the Pratetas, whose pastime will be told at the end of the fourth canto in chapter 30 and 31. So following Burujan Prabhu's guidance in the unveiling his lotus feet, then we have left chapter 24 until we get to chapter, the end of chapter 29, and then we'll go back and we'll do chapter 24 and then join us with 30 and 31. So now, after the Prachetas have gone to perform austerity, then their father, he is instructed by Narada into the nature of detachment from this material world. Now, Narada instructs him, and in instructing him, he gives him an allegorical example, or an allegorical story, about a king whose name is Brendan. So this king is allegorical. It means it is not real, but actually he's speaking about one who is bound in this material world. He's speaking to the king himself. So he gives this example. So we began last week with verse 3 to verse 10, and this week we'll go from verse 11 until 24, and we'll finish this allegory. And then next week there is no class because we have the retreat, so there'll be no class on Monday or Tuesday, and we'll resume the week after that. And then hopefully we'll get to the end of the fourth canto. The next exam will be at the end of the fourth canto. Should finish that by the end of this year. That's our goal.
Hopefully we can work
out. Any other points?
Okay. So tonight we'll go from verses 11.
What do you mean for Sri Narada Muni? It's kind of an allegorical story. It's not sort of speaking technique, is it?
Yeah, it's like that. Instead of saying to someone directly, you are like this, you are like this, then he gives an example. So sometimes then, in a cultured society, just like in India, they don't say things directly. They tend to speak in a roundabout kind of way, like that. So because this is an Indian story, then there is some roundabout kind of way. That's the way cultured people speak, you know. In the Western world, sometimes people speak very directly, but in a cultural society, they speak a little bit round. Sometimes maybe they go a little bit too far. But that's the basic.
More effective.
Yeah, more. It is more effective. Yeah. Okay. King Paranjana began to search for a suitable place to live. And thus he travelled all over the world. Even after a great deal of travelling, he could not find a place just to his liking. Finally, he became morose and disappointed. Sort of abundant to this?
Abundant to this? But some way or another, they abandoned the center of the other fathers and traveled all over the world. As stated in this word, the living entity wants to become the same Prabhu or martyr. The word Prabhu means martyr, but actually the living entity is not a martyr. He is the eternal servant of God. When the living entity abandoned the center of God, Krishna, and tried to become a Prabhu independently, he travels all over the creation. There are 8,400,000 species of life and millions and millions and trillions of colors within the creation. The living entity wanders throughout these various types of bodies and throughout different planets, and thus he is like King Paranjana, who travels all over the world looking for a suitable place to live. Sri Narottama Dasa Thakura has done Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda.
కేవల విచార మార్గం. ద పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ కర్మకాండ ఫ్రూటివ్ యాక్టివిటీ, ద పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ జ్ఞానకాండ స్పెక్యులేషన్ ఆర్ జస్ట్ లైక్ స్ట్రాంగ్ పార్ట్స్ ఆఫ్ పాయిజన్. సమస్త బాల్య దీర్ఘకాయ నానా యోని సదా. A person who mistakes this poison to nectar and drinks it travels in a different species of life, Kadarjiya Bhaksana Hare. And according to his body, he eats all type of abominable things. For instance, when the living entity is in the body of a hawk, he eats food. When the living entity is in the body of a crow, he eats all kinds of refuse, even first and mortar. That's Narottamata Thakur points out that the living entity travels in a different types of bodies and eats all kind of abominable things. When he does not become accidentally happy, he becomes moral, takes the way of duty.
Yeah,
in this verse it is said, Na Anurupa, that the king could never find a place suitable for his purpose. This is because in any form of life and in any planet in the material world, a living entity cannot be happy because everything in the material world is unsuitable for the spirit soul. As stated in this verse, the living entity independently wants to become a Prabhu, but as soon as he gives the idea and becomes a servant of God, Krishna, his happiness immediately begins. Therefore, Sri Bhakti Vinoda Thakur says, Kuthe Mayara Vase, Dasha Palita, Acha Kabul Dabu Maya. I be a living entity. Why are you being carried away by the waves of Maya? As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, in 51. Isura Sarvabhutana, Israse, Isuna, Siti. Varmayan Sarvabhutani, Chandra Udani Maya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wandering of all living entities who are seated as on the machine made up of material energy. The living entity is carried in the machine of the body through so many pieces of life and so many planets. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur asks the living entity why he is being carried away in this bodily machine to be played in so many different circumstances. He advises that one surmounts the waves of Maya by surrendering unto Krishna. Jiva Krishna Dasa, he Viswasa, Atleta Sukanai. As soon as we confront Krishna, Krishna advises Karma Dharma, Sarva Dharma, Garitrajya, Vamedam Saranam Dharma. Aham Tvam Sarva Bhavetyo, Moksha Shyami, Mahatisha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me, and shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Thus, we are immediately released from traveling from one body to another and from one planet to another. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Brahmanda Ramite Kona Bhakyavan Jiva. If while traveling a living entity becomes fortunate enough to become blessed by the association of devotees and to come to Krishna consciousness, his real life will begin. This Krishna consciousness movement is giving all wandering living entities a chance to take to the center of the Krishna and thus become happy. In this world, the words Vimana Eva are very significant. In this material world, even the great king of heaven is also full of anxiety. If even Lord Brahma is full of anxiety, what of these ordinary living entities who are working within this planet? From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all the planets of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. In the material world, a living entity is never satisfied. Even in the position of Brahma, or in the position of Indra or Chandra, one is full of anxiety. Simply because he has accepted this material world as a place of happiness.
Okay, so what are the points in this opening so forth?
The living entity cannot be happy in this material world, no matter where he goes. The only place is the shelter of Krishna Prabhu, and then he will be happy. So,
anything else.
The Prabhupada's proven but to extend
So, the example is given in this verse that the living entity is wandering around the universe. So, Krishna says within the Bhagavad Gita, Bahushaka, Yinantasya, there are unlimited options for the living entity to choose from in this material world. And the living entity continuously travels around the Brahmanda, or the universe, searching for different ways to become happy. So this is the situation in the material world. The living entity is simply wandering, lifetime after lifetime. We go from different species of life to different bodies, trying to find happiness. But as Prabhupada points out in the second paragraph, that we will never be happy in this world until we give up our Purusha Bhava, or the desire to be Prabhu. Because there is only one Prabhu, that is Mahaprabhu, and his direct expansions, Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Advaita Prabhu. They are the actual Prabhus, they are the actual Lords. And each one of us is trying to imitate them. That's why we come to the material world, to try to wander around and to try to be the enjoyer and the controller. And as long as we travel in this material world, it all ends up in one result, and that is moroseness. Everyone simply becomes morose and dissatisfied. So Prabhupada says, he quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is advising us, give up your wandering. Stop trying to travel around the universe trying to be happy. Give it up. Stop thinking that you'll be happy if you go somewhere else. If I go to Bali, I'll be happy. If I go to Fiji, I'll be happy. If I go to Hawaii, I'll be happy. Everyone has their thoughts about where they will go that will make me happy. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, give it up. Realize you'll never be happy in this material world. You're not meant to be happy in this material world. Become pessimistic in a healthy way about this material world. And what is the answer? Surrender to Krishna. This is the actual teaching which we've been given here. Surrender to Krishna and become happy. Because you cannot be happy unless you reconnect with Krishna. Each one of us felt very morose before we came to Krishna consciousness. But when we came to Krishna consciousness, now we feel satisfied. We feel peaceful. And this is only found in Krishna consciousness. When you try to become happy, separate from Krishna, then you'll never experience real happiness. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, give up your wandering. Stop moving around the universe trying to find a satisfying situation, because it does not exist. And then finally, Prabhupada says, the material world is always full of anxiety. That's the nature of the material world. It was funny because today I was having a really good day, because I got class this morning and the cottage team was going around. Everything very ecstatic. And then I started preparing this class. I was sitting here in the theater, and then someone came in and immediately brought me a problem from the material world. And it was just when I was reading this line when Prabhupada says, in the material world, you cannot be free from anxiety. So as long as we are in contact with the material energy, then we cannot be free from anxiety. So the answer is we have to renounce the material energy and fully absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Because by being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then we'll become free from anxiety. Otherwise it's not possible. The material world is meant to be a place of anxiety. Any point? Up until now. Everywhere you go.
Can we create stories for prison?
That's to speak authoritatively. Yeah. Or you can give examples from your own life. So that's okay. Not so much creating a story, but what were you thinking of?
I was thinking because Narad Muni has created a story to be driving out. What's the reason for going more into it?
Well, the first lesson is that we repeat what the Acharyas teach us. And then we, you know, Prabhupada said you use examples from your own life, so we use examples from our own life. But not so much, we don't really have to concoct anything. There's so much there to draw upon. You don't really need to make up a story to be effective.
I'm sorry,
Prabhupada, no, but Asit was making the point, should we make up our own stories? That's a little bit different. As we said, you can use, we use stories all the time. In fact, you should use stories, but we use stories which are authorized or. Anything else?
Yes, in the context of my the example is given of the caterpillar which comes from one leaf to the other leaf, crawls over one leaf, and he gives up that effort, and but he still doesn't find happiness in it.
Okay. King Puranjana had unlimited desires for sense enjoyment. Consequently, he travelled all over the world to find a place where all his desires could be fulfilled. Unfortunately, he found a feeling of insufficiency everywhere.
Material sense gratification with society, friendship and love is herein compared to a drop of water flowing on a desert. The desert requires oceans of water to satisfy, and if only a drop of water is supplied, what is its use? Similarly, the living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who, as stated in the Vedanta Sutra, is Anandamayo Abhyasa, full of enjoyment. Being part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the living entity is also seeking complete enjoyment. However, complete enjoyment cannot be achieved separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In his wanderings in the different stages of life, the living entity may taste some type of enjoyment in one body or another, but full enjoyment of the senses cannot be obtained in any material form. Thus, Puranjana, the living entity, wanders in different types of bodies, but everywhere meets frustration in his attempt to enjoy. In other words, the spiritual part covered by matter cannot fully enjoy the senses in any circumstance in material life. A deer may become absorbed in the musical sounds vibrated by the hunter, but the result is that it loses its life. Similarly, a fish is very expert in gratifying its tongue, but when it eats the bait offered by the fisherman, it loses its life. Even the elephant, who is so strong, is captured and loses its independence while satisfying its genitals with a similar reason. In each and every stage of life, the living entity gets a body to satisfy various senses, but he cannot enjoy all his senses at one time. In the human form of life, he gets an opportunity to enjoy all his senses pervertedly, but the result is that he becomes so harassed in his attempted sense gratification that he ultimately becomes sorrowful. As he tries to satisfy his senses more and more, he becomes more and more entangled.
What do you think? Any realizations?
Like, if the more fuel you put in the fire, it takes up closer.
Anything else?
I coming back, the visual are giving example of people, how they create the silk thread and make cocoon and there's bone inside the cocoon because they made the cocoon. And like why we are making our fruitive activities and because of the result we are bound in the material. So, by us we are bound.
Hmm. That's good. So Prabhupada is quoting all through this section of the Bhagavatam, he's quoting Narottama Das Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Chaitanya Charitamrita, the next section he quotes Chaitanya Bhagavat. So he's quoting all the Shivacharyas and making this point again and again and again in their bhajans, in their songs, that the material world is a place of suffering and we are not meant to enjoy perpetually in this material world. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings Dijago, Dijago, Gaura Chandra Bole. That Lord Chaitanya is calling out, wake up, sleeping souls, wake up, sleeping souls. How long will you sleep in the lap of that witch called Maya? So all of us are bound within this material energy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his representatives are calling us continuously, Srimad Bhagavatam is calling us, to wake up and come out of illusion, to come out of Maya. And to surrender to Krishna. And by surrendering to Krishna, we will become satisfied. That is the complete satisfaction that we are looking for. Everything else that you're looking for will not give you complete satisfaction. Nothing in the material world gives you complete satisfaction. The only thing which will satisfy us completely is our relationship with Krishna, once that is fully established. So that is what we are being asked to do, and that's what the Bhagavatam is reminding us of again and again. So any points here? Krishna Bhakti means karma? What does it mean? Anything else? Okay, we'll read the next verse. Once, while wandering in this way, he saw on the southern side of the Himalayas, in a place called Bharatvas, India, a city that had 9 gates all about and was characterized by all auspicious facilities. Jagannath Prabhu, we can use the first paragraph.
The tract of land south of the Himalaya mountains is the land of India, which was known as Bharata. When a living entity takes birth in Bharata, it is considered to be most fortunate. Indeed, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said that Bharata Bhumi Te Haida Manushya Janma Yad Janma Sarthaka Kori Sara Paravopaka. Thus, whoever takes birth in the land of Bharatvas attains all the facilities of life. He may take advantage of all these facilities for both material and spiritual advancement, and thus make his life successful. After attaining the goal of life, one may distribute his knowledge and experience all over the world for humanitarian purposes. In other words, one who takes birth in the land of Bharatvas, by virtue of his past 5 activities, gets full facility to develop a human form of life. In India, the climatic condition is such that one can live very peacefully without being disturbed by material conditions. Indeed, during the time of Maharaj Yudhishthira or Ramachandra, people were free from all anxiety. There was not even extreme cold or extreme heat. The 3 kinds of miserable conditions are adhyatmic, adhibhautic and adhidaivic. Misery is inflicted by the body itself, both inflicted by other living entities and natural disturbances. They are all absent during the reign of Lord Ramachandra or Maharaj Yudhishthira. But at present, compared to other countries on earth, India is artificially disturbed. Despite these material disturbances, however, the conflict culture is such that one can easily attain the goal of life, namely salvation or liberation from material bondage. Thus, in order to take birth in India, one must have performed many pious activities in a past life.
So what are the points in this first part?
You want Australia here.
Interesting. Prabhupada discusses this in the next paragraph.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Any other points? Anything else? What did you say?
When Lord Ram and King Yudhishthira were reigning, there was no severity in the weather, conducive.
Anything else?
Lord Ram was given a lecture in this, called Mera Bharat Maham. He thinks, my India is great. And he starts a lecture about how people actually say this, but they really don't know why. No one knows why India is great, but everyone says Mera Bharat Maham. It's more of a sentimental thing, but we don't relish the treasure which we have. And the very human lecture. It's a treasure lecture for you and India.
So, one should take one advantage of one's birth. If one happens to be born in Bharatvarsh, in the most auspicious land of Bharatvarsh, which in these days we call India, then you should take advantage of that birth. It's an extremely pious birth. Hands up if you were born in India. Okay, pretty good. There's only two of us, so I don't think we're born in India. Or three, if you count Brendan. Brendan was born here? Yeah, okay, so then everyone else was born in India. So you should take advantage of that birth. It is a pious birth. It's very fortunate. And if you do not take advantage of that birth, then you are most unfortunate. Because automatically, those who are born in India, they have certain advantages. And you see that, just like here, everyone is Indian. Why is that? Because there is an advantage. The consciousness is already evolved to a certain degree. Just by birth, and it is a pious birth, it means previously there has been punya, there has been piety. And in the case of everyone here, there has been bhakti. So because of this previous piety, this previous bhakti, then one is able to take up. But now you have to complete the mission. Now you have to complete the job. For so many lifetimes you've wasted your time and have not completed your Krishna consciousness. Now you have to become fully Krishna conscious. Take advantage. Because you have a great opportunity. You'll see that the people in the West, quite often it is very difficult for them to take a Krishna consciousness because there's so much mental disturbance and so forth. Getting an Indian birth, it means there's so much piety and so many of the problems which people have in life, especially in the Western world, you don't have that. So you have a very good opportunity to take advantage of and become Krishna conscious. So do not become complacent. One of the problems with the Indians is they're too attached to their family. One of the problems. Too much attachment. And because of too much attachment, then it's hard to transcend the material energy. So devotees, you have to be serious. You have an opportunity now to actually transcend the material energy. So take advantage of this opportunity which Krishna is giving you in this birth and make it fully successful. Any point?
There was having a meeting at 4 to 6 between 4 to 6 having a meeting with a German. He came from a German doctor and he became a good friend. So we are having this conversation and he took me to some restaurant and then he put food and then he started off from there after the meeting. The meeting was half an hour and then 1.5 hours we discussed about food and Krishna consciousness. But they were so interested, he went on asking questions
body, soul, everything recovered. Entire bank himself said that recovered, and he was so receptive that now he wants a book, and he said that, can you please give me that book quickly where you got all this information about body, soul, spiritual kingdom, and you were talking about Christianity and so many religions. And but I've been trying to speak to the other team members of mine who are all Indians, nobody is interested. They don't even want to hear about body, soul, anything. They're just on the laptop. And this you are actually most, so sometimes it's difficult to understand. How? Sometimes you meet a person who is very simple at heart, whether he's Indian or German, he doesn't. He just accepts.
Hmm.
But sometimes you find those Indians, and these are all Brahmanas who are up there. They say they are Brahmanas, but they are like stones. You just can't penetrate. You can't make them come to the land. Impossible.
They must be Brahmanas, because they're working on computers. Makes no difference, doesn't
it? But the first time of Maharaj Prithu, that reading helped me, because when I was talking to this German guy, I told him that, did you know that, you know, Aryans are a superior race, and I said, people from the United States, and German Chopra writes in the top book. And then, you know, these are the people who studied the Vedas initially and followed, and then he got very interested. So, from that angle, he liked it very much. And I said, that's the reason why Aryans are superior, and then he was very receptive after that.
Lucky you studied for your exam.
Pardon?
Lucky you studied for your exam.
Yes, actually studied, but
I'll see how you went when I'm not.
I fully endorse what German Prabhu is saying. I had the same thing. Last month I was in Germany, and I had so many friends, and we were talking, they were asking so many questions.
Hmm.
Even the so many professors, they were interested for Lord Nursing Day, and so many stories. And that's what the Indians get here in one. I said, I'm not sure I want it. But they said, you know so many things. So I said, because we discuss these things, it may not be able to get me. I was in practice. I told him, very happy. Because we have a chance to come to my foundation and join this team. It's very soon.
Yeah, we need more Germans in this class. Too many. I feel like a farm here. There's only me and Yogi, but they only got us from outside of India. And anybody, if I look at you, you look like you're one of them.
You don't have to be hanging around with them for like 2 months.
Turning the same color.
Yeah.
You know what Mexican are different from the Indian or the Indian?
To try to discredit the invaders. Okay. Any other points?
Indians
are very attached to family life. Something essential
is food for life, and another essential will be the spirit of family.
We didn't hear you say
that. Indians are very attached to family life. So thinking essential is food for life. Another SSL can be frustrating family life.
So we'll read the second paragraph. Take on Google, can you read the second
one? In this word, the word Lakshita Lakshana indicates that the human body, again, in Bharat world, is very auspicious. Vedic culture is full of knowledge. And a person born in India can only take advantage of Vedic cultural knowledge and the cultural system known as Brahmashram Dharma. Even at the present time, as we travel all over the world, we see that in some countries, human beings have many material facilities but no facilities for spiritual advancement. We find everywhere the effect of one-sided facility and the lack of full facility. A blind man can walk but cannot see, and a lame man can walk but can't see. Cannot walk but can see. Andra Pangu Maya. The blind man can take the lame man over his shoulder, and as he walks, the lame man may give him direction. Thus combined, they may work. But the means to unite the blind man and not the lame man can walk successfully. Similarly, this human form of life is meant for advancement of spiritual life and for keeping the material necessities in order.
especially in the Western countries, there are ample facilities for material comfort, but no one has any idea of spiritual advancement. Many are hankering after spiritual advancement, but many teachers come and take advantage of their money, bless them, and go away. Fortunately, the Krishna consciousness movement is there to give all facilities for both material and spiritual advancement. In this way, people in the Western countries may take advantage of this movement. In India, any man in the village, unaffected by the industrial cities of India, can still live in any condition and make spiritual advancement. The body has been called the city of nine gates, and these nine gates include two eyes, two ears, two nostrils, one mouth, a genital, and a rectum. When the nine gates are seen and working properly, it is to be understood that the body is healthy. In India, these nine gates are kept clean by the villagers who rise early in the morning, bathe in the well or river, go to the temple to attend Mangalati, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and take prasad. In this way, one can take advantage of all the facilities of human life. We are gradually introducing this system in different centers in our society in the Western countries. One who takes advantage of it becomes more and more enlightened in spiritual life. At the present moment, India may be compared to a layman and the Western countries to the blind man. For the past 2000 years, India has been subjugated by the rule of foreigners, and the legs of progress have been broken. In the Western countries, the eyes of the people have become blind due to the dazzling glitter of material opulence. The blind men of the Western countries and the lame men of India should combine together in this Krishna consciousness movement. Then the lame men of India can walk with the help of the Westerner, and the blind Westerner can see with the help of the lame men. In short, the material advancement of the Western countries and the spiritual assets of India should combine for the elevation of all human society.
What do you think? What was he doing?
He was in desire. The perfect will be gone.
Anything else?
But
move always to take the best of the family rather than the demand or limitations of the person or the country, and actually take the best or the best to try to bring that new strength to the person. Any other point? So, as Prabhupada is encouraging us here. He's saying that we should
take advantage of what ISKCON is offering. Because most of you have come from India and then you've met Krishna consciousness when you came to the West. So there are many advantages in living in the West, as you all know, because you've all been to India. And materially, India is austere in many ways. So Prabhupada is teaching us that in ISKCON we have the opportunity, in the Western countries, we can take advantage of the material facility which is offered in the West, and simultaneously we can make spiritual advancement. So every devotee, you have to situate yourself according to which place will assist you the most in making advancement in your Krishna consciousness. Some devotees feel they go back to India, and they feel that would be most advantage to their Krishna consciousness. Some devotees feel it's better to remain in the West and become a Krishna conscious. There's definitely no real advantage either way. You know, because you go to India, you're only going to become Krishna conscious in India through ISKCON. Right? And you'll only become Krishna conscious in the West through ISKCON. So there's really no advantage in going to India or being in the West. And there's definitely advantages of being in the West in terms of the amount of service you get to do, which you may not be able to do in some of the temples in India, and the proximity in which you can live close to the temple, whereas in India sometimes you can't always live close to the temple, so it's difficult. So there are advantages on both ways. So Prabhupada is encouraging us, either way, you find out where you want to live and situate yourself, but take advantage of the ISKCON community and the ISKCON temple, because that is what will liberate us from the material energy. So we do have a great advantage here because we're living in the world's most livable city, which is Melbourne, which is a very pleasant place to live, materially speaking. And we have one of the best temples in the world. So basically we have everything. Okay. So Prabhupada is encouraging us to take advantage of what we have. And then Prabhupada is encouraging us to keep the body healthy. It is necessary now for the devotee to take care of the material body. His Holiness Devamrita Swami goes swimming regularly. He goes and has physical exercise regularly. And every devotee should regularly take care of their body. You should do some sort of exercise and you should eat properly. This is necessary because you will need your material body. Just like His Holiness Mahavishnu Goswami, he passed away recently and he was 91 years old and still quite healthy up until when he left this world. So that is because if we look after our body, we do regular exercise and we eat properly and we sleep properly, we don't live too much of a stressful lifestyle, we have a balanced lifestyle, then the body can be used right from the end to cultivate Krishna consciousness. And in many respects we need as much time as we can get. Because you may or may not be doing such a good job up until now. You don't have to wait until I see your exam and see how you're doing. Like that. But generally speaking, we need to have a Prabhupada says you need to live a long life so you can maximize your opportunity to become Krishna conscious in this lifetime. The Prabhupada is saying live a healthy life, live a balanced life, and cultivate your Krishna consciousness. And at the end of the purport, then Prabhupada emphasizes yukta vairagya. In other words, using everything which the material world has to offer to spread Krishna consciousness. That's what Prabhupada did when he first came to America. Then he began to use the dictaphone. Now back then, in the 70s, the dictaphone was a very highly advanced piece of technology. Yeah? When they first came out, Prabhupada was one of the first people to get them. They were brand new on the market. It was like these days getting, you know, a very advanced computer or something. It was cutting-edge technology. Prabhupada used all of these things in Krishna consciousness. So we need to spread Krishna consciousness in any way we can. Yeah? And these days, practically, people are on the internet all the time. So we have to learn how to use the internet and use all these modern forms of technology to spread Krishna consciousness as much as possible. Just like in Hare Krishna Valley, on our website, you know, we have a blog which we do every week, and we get about 100 people a week looking at our blog. And some people are looking at it from Mexico, from India, from America, like that. So it's not much, but if ISKCON has many of these sites all over the world, then, you know, so many people are getting an opportunity to experience Krishna consciousness in some way, shape or form. This is Prabhupada's vision, to use the Western technology, and use the knowledge which is coming from Bharata. Any point? Well, that maybe we'll do it for this class later. We'll see. Any other points? It's definitely a mixture because to be born in that situation, as Chanakya says, poverty is the source of all bad qualities. So it's because of impiety they get born like that, but still some piety is also there because it's India. Because even being born in India, you still get something like that. But that's definitely these days, it's not like it was before. As Prabhupada was saying, previously things were much more pious there. But these days, it's rapidly deteriorating, the whole situation.
when we look at it from another angle, saying that the entire world was Parapur once upon a time, there was continental drift and whatever happened, then how do we understand this Parapur? Is it really the geographical India of today? I understand that he's talking about geographical India, but was India restricted to that geographical India which we know today? Because today, for example, the head is cut off and people say that tomorrow it's to become something else. 100 years down the line, we don't know how the Indian map will look like, considering the fact that there is so much of dissent happening. So, when we say Bharatvarsh, it should be something more than today's geographical India.
You know, other places in the Bhagavatam Prabhupada says Bharatvarsh means earth.
Yeah.
7 continents. He says that in other places. And here he's specifically saying that part of that Bharatvarsh or India, which is where the ruling dynasties were. Like that. The whole 7 continents were ruled, but they were ruled from that place. So. And this purple Prabhupada is just specifically saying India. It's definitely a superior growth in many ways. But because of Kali Yuga, everything's becoming degraded very quickly. Okay, so we'll keep reading through. The city was surrounded by walls and parks, and within it were towers, canals, windows, and outlets. The houses were decorated with domes of gold, silver, and iron. So now the allegory is becoming more technical. Narada is discussing the body. And he's using these different allegories, or these different examples, in terms of the city and the different features of the city to compare it to our body. So he is saying that the body, or the city, has different domes made of gold, silver, and iron. So Narada is speaking, or he's using the example of the three modes of material nature. That our bodies are under the influence of the three modes. And then he also says, Prabhupada also mentions in the purport, the body is primarily made of the three doshas, kapha, pitta, and vata. Okay. So, from different ways, it is being said that the body is constituted in different ways. So, as Prabhupada says in the end of the purport, that one is an act, if one is attached to a body which is made of bile, air, and mucus. Hands up if you're attached to a body made of bile, air, and mucus. A few of us people. The rest of you didn't understand the question. Hands up if you're attached to the material body. Most of you are attached to the material body. What is the material body made of? Right? It is made of bile, air, and mucus. So if you're attached to it, then you're an ass, which means you're a mutta. So hands up if you're a mutta. Some of you. So we're all mutta, because we're all attached to a body which is just made of bile, air, and mucus. But we are attached to the body. And we're attached to other bodies which are made of the same substance. So we are just asses, according to the Bhagavad Gita. It's an ass mentality. Yeah? Bhagavad Gita is very direct a lot of the time. The floors of the house, of the houses in that city, were made of sapphire, crystal, diamonds, pearls, emeralds, and rubies. Because of the luster of the houses in the capital, the city was compared to the celestial town named Bhogavati. So, Prabhupada explains this analogy which Narada is using, that the floors of the house are made of precious jewels. And in terms of this allegory or this example, it means that within our heart we keep so many jewels of material desires. So within the heart of a materialistic person, he has so many materialistic desires situated within his consciousness. And we think these are very precious. This is called... What are these different things in our heart called?
Anartha.
Anartha. What does artha mean? Yeah, something of value. Yeah? So in our heart, we have attachments to so many things which we think these are valuable. Yeah? We think our material desires, we hold on to them. And we think our material desires are very valuable and very precious. But actually, they are anartha. They are unwanted. They're not of value. So that is the consciousness which we have. So Nara is giving the example of the jewels which we keep within the house, thinking they're very precious. Just like a materialist, he protects everything very carefully.
From another perspective, actually the body is a miracle which is happening in the body. Because the molecular biology to study the cell, they say it's an amazing thing which is happening in one cell. All the manufacturing processes in the world which is happening are all happening in one cell. It is so sophisticated and complicated. It's a wonder. They're amazed. It's happening in one cell. So whatever Nagamuni is saying is actually, it is a miracle. The antibody is in fact a reality.
In that city, there were many assembly houses, street crossings, streets, restaurants, gambling houses, markets, resting places, flags, festoons, and beautiful parks. All these surrounded the city. So, within this body, there are assembly places, Prabhupada points out in the purport. So it means within our body, there is more than one person. Who else is within our body? Paramatma. So Paramatma, he is giving jnanam smritya apohanam cha. He is giving knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So within our consciousness, everything is dependent upon the Paramatma. He is also within our heart. And from him, we are remembering our desires or forgetting our desires or getting knowledge on how to fulfill our desires. All of this is coming from Paramatma. On the outskirts of that city were many beautiful trees and creepers encircling a nice lake. Also, surrounding that lake were many groups of birds and bees that were always chanting and humming. So we should read this paragraph. This is one quite interesting. So.
In the body in the great city, there is various regions such as lakes and valleys, oceans and rivers. All the various parts of the body, those which inside sexual infrastructure are referred to here indirectly. Because the body is gentle, so living in the attains the right way, be the man or woman who becomes educated by the sex. Simple. As long as one remains to try, he is not educated by seeing a beautiful woman, although the 10 persons are present. Unless the age is right, there is no such matter. The favorable conditions surrounding the sex temples are compared here to a garden or a nice forestry farm. When one sees the whole sex, naturally the sex temples begin. It is said that if a man in the solitary place does not become educated upon seeing a woman, he will become better with himself. But the sex is almost impossible. The sex impulse is so strong that even by seeing, touching, or talking, coming into contact with, or even thinking of the body sex, even in so many subtle ways, one becomes sexually impaired. Consequently, a brahmachari or sannyasi prioritizes the shape with women, especially in a secret place. The shastras enjoin that one should not even talk to a woman in a secret place, even if she happens to be one's own daughter, sister, or mother. The sex impulse is so strong that even if one is very learned, he becomes educated in such circumstances. If this is the case, how can a young man in life path remain calm and quiet after seeing a beautiful woman?
Any point?
On the machine.
Anything else?
And it's also
that we studied in first canto, I'm not sure. Yoshit Sandra Jata Pumso, Pumso is just a first Sandhi Sandra. The all the attachments that a man has, highest, most dangerous attachment to the sex, and more dangerous than that is attachment to a man who is attached.
Anything else? So Prabhupada, in this purport, he gives the definition of what a brahmachari actually is. A brahmachari means one who is literally wandering within Brahman realization, or spiritual realization, who understands that he is not the body, but he is the soul. He is not matter, but he is spirit. So that person will not become affected by the opposite sex. But generally, now you'll see that everyone else becomes affected by the opposite sex. As Prabhupada points out here, it's just the mind becomes agitated as soon as one comes in contact with the opposite sex. That is the potency. Within the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned, Maitunibhav. Maitunibhav means the attraction between man and woman. Hridaya grantim, which means it creates a strong knot within the heart, within the consciousness. So only someone who is very advanced in Krishna consciousness will surpass this attraction or attachment to the material energy. In other words, one has to become a brahmachari. Brahmachari, literally, what it means. Not someone who just puts some saffron on. It's someone who is actually absorbed in Brahman or spirit. He can transcend this material attachment. Any other point?
I don't know if I'm fully correct. I think one can even control sexual energies, but I think the desire to be in the center, the desire for power and control is much superior and more lasting than sex. Because sex also is time, it can be blind. So the desire to be in the center, the desire to have power and control, the desire of the ego is much bigger. Yeah.
Prabhupada also said somewhere that the desire for recognition was also settled somewhere else.
Actually, even sex is a reflection of the desire for power and control.
So ultimately, you could say it is sex life.
No.
Well, if you want to control the opposite sex.
That is one aspect of it. But the desire for control and power, the desire to be in the center, the power of ego is much stronger than the power of the physical body. The subtle body is more powerful than the physical body.
Maybe true, but like Jagannath in the same, and it seems like it's an extension of the same principle.
I think what Prabhupada also says, the body is fine too. Prabhupada says, it's something like the last snare of Maya. And he says that, yeah, it's the desire of the sea. So even if one overcomes it, right, he becomes proud of that and wants recognition because he has overcome that. And that is the last snare.
There are many Sanyasis that are falling from the position, not because of sex, but because of desire to be with you. And even if you look at creation, which is done in the candle, if the ego, the false ego, is also covering the most strong benefit, it is 10 times more bigger than the other covering. And ego is really the force, it binds the soul and the matter. That is very, very strong. It is the sense of ego, it is the most powerful.
But still, I think that's an extension of subtle sex life. You can ask your Guru Maharaj, but I think it is. I think it's what Prabhupada emphasizes. If you read in the very first purport of the Bhagavatam 111, then Prabhupada says sex is the active principle of the material world.
Yes.
So I don't think it's contrary to what you're saying. I think it's the same thing. It's ego, but then, okay, then how does ego become expressed? Through sex desire.
Yeah. That's true. Even if
it's
expressed through sex desire. But sex
desire is one of the... Yeah, okay, so it's still subtle. So it's like you're saying, okay, you want to be prominent, you want to be a leader, you want to be a controller. But that's subtle sex desire, ultimately.
The subtle is only powerful to develop.
Yeah, there's no argument there. I'm not arguing that point. You are correct in what you're saying. But still, I think it's double sex life. I don't think it's different to what you're saying. You can ask your guru now and see what he says. He's coming this week, so.
Will you get to know? Ego or false ego? False ego.
Okay. The branches of the tree standing on the bank of the lake receive particles of water carried by the spring air from the falls coming down from the icy mountain. So it's interesting if you read Prabhupada's purport and what Narada is speaking of here, and what Prabhupada is defining in terms of what Narada is speaking. So basically, Narada teaches us that Rishikesha, Sevanam Bhakti, Uchita, we must engage our senses in the servant of the master of the senses. Because in the material world, everyone wants to use their senses in the service of themselves. Everyone wants to use their senses to enjoy their own personal desires. But in order to purify ourselves or to become extracted from the material energy, then one must use those senses in the service of Krishna, the same principle. And that will purify or remove the contamination within the consciousness of the living entity. That desire to enjoy our senses separately from Krishna, that same desire is used in the service of Krishna, then we become purified of that desire. And this will be elaborated in this section of the Bhagavad Gita. In such an atmosphere, even the animals of the forest became non-violent and non-envious like great sages. Consequently, the animals did not attack anyone. Over and above everything was the cooing of the cuckoos. Any passenger passing along that path was invited by that atmosphere to take rest in that nice garden.
A peaceful family with five children is compared to the richly responsible of the world. Children are compared to non-violent families. Sometimes, however, violent children are called Pojanakya Dasti, burglars in the name of Krishna. A man of his family who is hard over, the religious sense is plundered by his wife. And children exist as a person in a forest developed by the streams and gurgles to get his money. Normally in family life, the turmoil of wife and children appears to be like the cooing of the cuckoo in the garden of family life. Being invited by such an atmosphere, the person who is passing through such a distant family life desires to have his family with him for all of them.
So Prabhupada seems to be contradictory in this purport. Prabhupada is saying that on the one hand, family life should be peaceful. Because when there is no quarrel amongst the husband and wife, it's very easy to concentrate on your Krishna consciousness. But then on the other hand, if the family life is too materially satisfying, then one may become complacent and it may be very difficult for one to become detached and to advance in Krishna consciousness, because the attachment is very strong. So it seems that Krishna makes a perfect arrangement for every individual. He gives you the wife or husband that you need and that you deserve. Because then that will purify your consciousness. He gives you the wife that you need so that you will become detached from this material world. Because for some devotees, they're already quite detached. So then Krishna gives them the right wife or the right husband. And so everything can just be peaceful and then they can progress in Krishna consciousness. For other devotees, we're too attached to the opposite sex. So Krishna gives you a wife or a husband who is very testing and very challenging for your false ego. And in this way you become more detached and it's easier for you to advance. Because either way, it's very strong. The attachment is very strong. Right? If the relationship is very peaceful, right, the attachment is very strong. And even if the husband and wife are not so peaceful, but still the attachment is very strong. So Krishna arranges it in such a way that we will become more detached. That is the purpose of family life for a devotee. The non-devotees just want to have like some sort of perfect material situation, but the devotees, they realize that whatever takes place in family life, it helps us to become more attached to Krishna. While wandering here and there in that wonderful garden, King Paramjana suddenly came in contact with a very beautiful woman who was walking there without any engagement. She had 10 servants with her, and each servant had hundreds of wives accompanying him. So this is the example of the intelligence. The beautiful woman is the intelligence, and the 10 servants are the 10 senses. So Prabhupada explains in the purport that even if you don't have any opportunity to be with the opposite sex, still in the subtle body you become very attached and you contemplate that association. And it is the same Maya. Whether you're with the opposite sex and trying to enjoy the association with the opposite sex, or whether you have no opportunity and in your mind you are contemplating it, it is the same attachment. You are still in the material energy. You're in Maya, either way. Whether you think you are liberated or not, then you're in the same, the attachment is the same. So we must purify ourselves of this attachment, once again, by engaging in the service of Krishna. Krishna is Madan Mohan. He will attract you away from Madan, or the material cupid. The woman was protected on all sides by a five-footed snake. She was very beautiful and young, and she appeared very anxious to find a suitable husband. The woman's nose, teeth, and forehead were all very beautiful. Her ears were equally very beautiful and were bedecked with dazzling earrings. The waist and hips of the woman were very beautiful. She was dressed in a yellow sari and a golden belt. While she walked, her ankle bells rang. She appeared exactly like a denizen of the heavens. With the end of her sari, the woman was trying to cover her breasts, which were equally round and well placed side by side. She again and again tried to cover them out of shyness, while she walked exactly like a great elephant. Yogi, you want to read this?
She dressed to present attachment and envy. The symptoms of Radha and Dvesha, attachment and envy, are described in Bhagavad Gita 3.34. In the Radha Dvesha, Yavastita, Yavastita, Matam, Agastya, Tauhi, Asya, Paripanthano. Attraction and repulsion of four sense objects are felt by embodied beings. But one should not fall under the control of senses and sense objects because they are stumbling blocks to on the path of self-realization. These representatives of attachment and envy are very much unfavorable for advancement in spiritual life. One should not be affected by the dress of a young woman. The great saint Bhattacharya has described the dress of women, especially young women, as nothing but a combination of muscle and blood. One should not be affected by the illusionary energy by waist breast and the nipples. They are agents of Maya meant to victimize the opposite sex. Because the breasts are equally attractive, they are described as stomach brutal. The sexual thoughts remain in an old man's heart also, even after the point of death. To be rid of such education, one must be very much advanced in spiritual consciousness, like Yamuna Chara, who said, Yat avati nama keta krishna pada arvinde nava nava rasa dharmani उद्यतम रंसु मके तत् अभिजीव पद नारी संगमे मगज मने भवती मुख विखर सत्सु निष्ठि बलम च Since I am engaged in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, realizing even new pleasure in Him, whenever I think of sex pleasure, I spit at the thought and my lips curl with disdain. When one is spiritually advanced, he can no longer be attracted to the lumps of flesh and blood which are the flesh of young women. The word nirantaro is significant because although the flesh is situated in different locations, the action is the same. We should not make any distinction between attachment and envy. As in Bhagavad Gita 3.37 they say, four products of Rajagun, Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajagun, Samudbhava. The word Nikushanti, trying to cover, indicates that even if one is maintained by Kama, Lobha, Krodha, etc., they can be transfigured by Krishna consciousness. In other words, one can utilize Kama, lust, for serving Krishna. But impelled by lust, an ordinary worker will work hard day and night. Similarly, a devotee can work hard day and night to satisfy Krishna. Just as the Kamis are working hard to satisfy Dharma Krodha, a devotee should work in the same way to satisfy Krishna. Similarly, Krodha, anger, can also be used in the service of Krishna when it is applied to the non-devotee demons. Anumanji applied his anger in this way. He was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra and utilized his anger to set fire to the kingdom of Ravana, a non-devotee demon. Thus, Kama, lust, can be utilized to satisfy Krishna, and both the anger can be utilized to punish the demon. When both are used in Krishna's service, the demon and the material situation becomes spiritually important.
So, as Prabhupada is mentioning, in this purport, then in order to overcome the attraction to the opposite sex, which is the strongest allurement of Maya, then one must become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Because if you do not become advanced in Krishna consciousness, if you don't become attached to Krishna, then you will not be able to overcome Maya. Because Maya is too powerful. Mama Maya Dharatriya. Krishna says it is my energy. So you cannot overcome God's illusory energy unless you become attached to God Himself. So Prabhupada emphasizes in the purport that the negative things, the negative qualities we may have, if we use them in Krishna's service in a positive way, then we can overcome. So we may have lust or calm or an attachment to the opposite sex, which is a strong desire, but then use that strong desire in the service of Krishna. Just like Prabhupada says, people work very hard to satisfy the opposite sex. They work very hard to satisfy their wives or their husbands. So use that same capacity to work hard and please Krishna. Please Guru and Krishna, and then automatically both husband and wife will become satisfied. If you try to enjoy separately from Krishna and in the husband-wife relationship, right, then it will just end in conflict. But if you try to serve Krishna or please Krishna, then the husband-wife relationship will be very harmonious. So we'll stop here. Any final points? Yes, sir. Is there another? Oh, yeah, Jagannath Prahan Prabhu lost one Vyasa Puja book, which he thinks he left here in the theatre last week. Okay, so we have that book. Okay. So we can give you the keys to the office and then you can go. Any other points? Okay, so no class next week because next week is the retreat, and the week after we'll resume the chapter 25 of Pastimes of Kuranjana. Shula Prabhupada ki? Yeah.